And next is NFTs. This is the hype that we've been seeing a lot over the last year or two, and the term being thrown around. NFTs are non-fungible tokens. Effectively, they're unique, non-transferable code that identifies a certain piece of data or asset on a blockchain. And they're being used to create unique identifiers for digital collectibles, digital art, virtual world, gaming. We're seeing sports teams creating NFTs of various assets and IP rights that they own. So it's a pretty broad spectrum of assets that are now, you know, exist in the real world that are being created in the digital world using this technology. And just to give you the size of the business opportunities that have grown in NFTs, the first NFT was created back in 2015, but the first time the term started being used more mainstream in 2020, the NFT market value tripled to $250 million. And in the first quarter of 2021, the market cap just in the first quarter has been $2 billion. So that just gives you the size of the growth of just that one business line and new opportunity that's been developed. And then moving on to M&A activity in this area. Market is becoming increasingly competitive. A lot of these emerging technology companies used to talk about these topics years ago, 5 years ago. All this technology was conceptual. There was an actual market for it. Now there are actual businesses and customers and users, and so naturally there is consolidation and acquisition starting in this area. Based on a survey from PwC, there's been 118 crypto M&A deals in 2020 with average transaction size in excess of $50 million. I think in 2021 that number will likely be higher. And the correlation between the deal size and the crypto markets tells the same story, that the markets are rising. There's more institutional participation on both the deals and the investment opportunities, and so there's more M&A activity. There's also a lot more IPOs that we're seeing in this area. A number of IPOs this year and last year have started coming into being, and then also SPACs. So just to give you an idea of some of the notable M&A transactions that have transpired over the last year and earlier this year, and a lot of this acquisition aren't competitors. A lot of market participants have created different types of technology that complement each other and create an entire ecosystem, as that term is used in the blockchain space, to complement current service offerings. And so a lot of this M&A activity that we're seeing, and this gives you an example of the type of deal. So Binance, in a cryptocurrency exchange, acquiring a data provider, or Galaxy Digital, which is a public company and a broker-dealer investor in this area, acquiring a custodian, all complementary service offerings as part of the consolidation and M&A that we're seeing in this area. And then moving on to SPAC transactions, which is another growth area that we're seeing. This lists out a number of SPACs, none of which have closed to date, as the time of preparing this slide deck. But this just shows there are many large fintechs that are ripe for IPOs or investments, and some of these, if the transaction doesn't close, may be ripe for acquisition. So there's a lot of different exit opportunities that we're seeing, from the IPO to the M&A to the crypto and reverse merger process. And many of these fintechs are, either infrastructure such as Core Scientific, providing data centers for Bitcoin mining, to cryptocurrency exchanges such as Bakkt or Circle and others. And so then this is a question we get a lot and work through with clients on: how do you evaluate blockchain solutions? How do you diligence these transactions, especially in this nascent area? So for existing business infrastructure, it's important to remember, especially when corporate development teams come and saying, we've got this new great blockchain solution that we're looking at, is blockchain the right solution to the problem? The technology is not ripe for every problem within an organization, and so that's part of the evaluation process. Is this the right technology, or is it just a buzzword that the company is looking for? And then assuming it is a suitable solution, if the activity or system requires features that are specific to blockchain transactions is important to evaluate. So there may be different distributed participants, unrelated participants. The example supply chain I gave earlier as an area of implementation, you know, are there unrelated third parties in the supply chain around the world that would benefit from adding data and having everyone view the data in real time across the supply chain? And we saw early use cases, for example, Walmart implementing supply chain blockchain years ago, where they would track from farm to store every movement of their goods and have a good visibility across the movement of all their vendors. And then also the payment to all of those vendors could be on the same network. So, you know, is there a distributed nature to the solution? Do you want or need a lack of a trusted third-party intermediary? Often, you may need a third party that intermediates and is involved in the transaction flow, but if not, and everyone can just add their own data to this decentralized network, this may be the right solution. And then next, data. I keep saying the word data, but blockchain is all about data. And is a transaction data in nature, and that they will benefit from this shared ledger? A number of other